Greet you again in the name of Jesus this morning. We're thinking of stewardship in the Sunday school lesson. I had to think, and maybe it's just because I was thinking along this line, but I thought that fit in very well with undivided loyalty. Because to be a steward, to be a proper steward, you've got to be loyal. You cannot be a good steward, you cannot be a proper steward and have a divided loyalty. This morning, as we look at this thought of undivided loyalty, we realize that there's that temptation, there's that struggle constantly that we face to have our loyalties divided, to have our loyalty drawn away from God and from Jesus Christ to other things around us. We live in a world of clamor and commotion, trying to get our attention, trying to get us to concentrate and focus on the things that they want us to focus on. And what the world wants us to focus on is totally different than what God wants us to focus on. And we cannot have our focus on things of the world and have our eyes on Jesus Christ, because it's looking two different directions. And we need to have that clear on our minds this morning, because if we don't, if we think we can maybe focus kind of, you know, on both of them, we're not realizing the difference between the two. I think we need to remember that we are of another kingdom, and therefore our focus, our loyalty needs to be to that kingdom and not to that of the world. The definition of loyalty is a quality or state or instance of being loyal. Well, that's okay, that's understandable. What's loyal? What does loyal mean? Faithful to those persons, ideals, etc., that one is under obligation to defend or support. Now, that makes it sound almost mandatory, that we don't really have a choice, we're under obligation. Well, if you stop and think about it, if we have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, if we have professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are under obligation. We are not, it's not a choice to continue in that way and not be loyal. It's an obligation. Faithfulness or faithful adherence to a person, government, cause, duty, etc. That's what loyalty is. And we want to look at it from that perspective this morning of a faithfulness or an adherence to a cause. When an individual is an employer and he has employees working for him, he expects a degree of faithfulness and loyalty, right? I mean, if you're working for somebody, they're expecting you to put yourself into it. They don't expect you to come to work in the morning and punch a time clock and then do all sorts of other things, or just sit there and relax, or drink a cup of coffee and eat a donut. We'll get started sometime. They expect you that when you punch in on their time, that you are going to be productive and that you are going to give them your loyalty. You're not going to go off and start doing things for yourself and say, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I need to get back to work here and, and then wander off again and do something else and then come back. And that's not loyalty. And we, of course, understand that as we look at the practical applications and the practical side of things. You know, we understand that. We understand that a person wouldn't have a job very long if they approached it in that way. I guess my question is, we understand that in that perspective. But when it comes to the Christian life, it seems like we have a problem, anyway I do sometimes, have a problem in putting that into reality in that area. And that is what we want to look at this morning, is undivided loyalty, faithfulness, being a good steward of God's word and of what God has given us and what God has entrusted in us and in our commitment to Him. There's many different Bible verses and illustrations that we could turn to in order to kind of build a biblical basis for this. But the most common verse that is used when we talk about loyalty to one cause or another is the verse in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, No servant can serve two masters. And going on with that, it says he will hate the one and cleave to the other, or he will despise the one and will love the other. And that's a very simple verse. I mean, it's very easy to understand. But you know, again, we have that struggle in our Christian life to really put that to practice. And I believe, as I studied over this message and read the scriptures and thought about them, I had to realize that, you know, God's speaking to me too. And I trust this morning that each one of us can gather some encouragement, some challenges from this message. You know, when we look at the Christian life and we look at what is required of us, and we look at the commitment that we made, and then as life goes on and we rub shoulders with the world and situations come up that tend to require our attention, sometimes we get our focus off to the side a little bit. And we're not keeping our loyalty undivided. Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters. It's a very simple fact that if you have a master of a servant over here, he's going to have a plan and a goal for that individual, for that servant. He's going to have work that he wants that servant to do. He's going to have things that he requires of that servant. And he expects loyalty. And then you have another master over here on this side that has goals and ideals and plans and ambitions. And they're not going to be the same as this master over here. They're going to be different. There's going to be different things that he wants done today than what this master over here does. And there's going to be different places that this master wants to send the servant than what this master wants to send the servant. And there's going to be different responsibilities that this master wants to give to the servant compared to this master over here. You can't serve two masters. You can't fulfill loyalty to this master and this master at the same time. You're going to have to choose. And that's the choice that is ours today. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Begin reading at verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Very simple, plain, clear words of Jesus Christ. Speaking here to a multitude of people. And he's telling them that if we want to follow him, he says, if any man come to me, if we come to Jesus Christ, he's telling us what he's expecting. He's giving us a clear direction. And it sounds tough. It sounds pretty strong. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What do those words mean to you? What is Jesus asking of those who come to him and want to be his followers? I do believe this morning that, according to Scripture, that word hate does not mean what we often think it means. You know, you hate something. It means you despise it. You'd rather not have anything to do with it. It's just detestable, and hate can build to some very, very bad attitudes and actions. But if you look at what this word hate actually means, the word hate here is used in a relative term, not a direct term. And therefore, what he's saying is, in relation to me, when you come and want to be my disciple, in relation to your love and your dedication to me and your loyalty to me, everything else has to be put aside. And he gets very personal. He's talking about personal family. The very things that we hold dear, the very things that we would put ourselves out for, the very things that we spend our life for. Our parents, our wife and children, brothers and sisters, those are the people, those are the things, the individuals that we would do anything for. We should be, anyway. Those are the people that we're going to give ourselves to and do whatever it takes to protect them and to make sure that nothing harms them and to make sure that they're getting the very best. We'll spend of ourselves for them to have what they need. Jesus says, your love for me, your dedication to me, your loyalty to me needs to supersede your loyalty to your very family. That's a strong statement. But unless, brothers and sisters, we have a loyalty to Jesus Christ, we have a loyalty to God the Father, we cannot and we will not have a proper loyalty to our families. Because outside of Jesus Christ, we are selfish. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are looking to take care of ourselves. Oh yeah, we see a brother or a sister family, not church family, I'm talking now, brother or sister or one of our children. We see them in distress. We see them in trouble. We'll help them. But too many times there's a selfish aspect in that response. Jesus says, when you are loyal to me, even family needs to take second place. That doesn't mean we ignore our family. That doesn't mean we ignore our children. That means we take care of them as a duty of God, as a duty that is given to us by Jesus Christ. And we fulfill our loyalty to him by being loyal to our family. We could also turn to Matthew 19, but I don't think I'm going to do that for sake of time here. Matthew 19, Peter says to Jesus, you know, Lord, we've forsaken all to follow thee. And Jesus tells him that even if you've forsaken all, you're going to receive houses and lands and brothers and sisters, and he goes on and mentions all those things. When we have a loyalty to Jesus Christ that is unconditional, we have the promise of Jesus that he is going to give us so much more than what we would ever receive from even our families. And that's hard to imagine, because family is usually the closeness. In the world today, that's somewhat disappeared, but family is the closeness. Family is the support. Family is the help. Family is the inspiration. And Jesus says, if you're loyal to me, as I have called you to be loyal, you are going to receive so much more. And if we have a loyalty to Jesus Christ, and our family has a loyalty to Jesus Christ, we are going to receive so much more than we could otherwise. Well, there's many examples given in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 17, that is the story of Samaria being repopulated by the king that conquered it and took captive those individuals that were there. And then the land was beginning to grow up and not being taken care of. There was nobody there to take care of the land. So the king moved in other people from other areas, other nations. And they began to experience some terrible things. The lions of the land came and devoured them, and the thorns and, you know, the ground seemed to be turned against them. And finally they said to the king, they said, King, the reason that this is happening is because we don't understand the ways of the God of this land. Now, granted, they were very superstitious, and they had many different idols, many different gods that they tried to appease. But they understood to a certain extent that they did not understand the God of this land, and that's why these things were happening to them. And they said, let a priest come back. Let a priest of this God come back and teach us how we should do. They had a desire. They had a desire to understand, basically for their own protection. But the king sent back one of the priests, and he taught them the ways of God. And that's all good. But it doesn't stop there. It says that every nation made gods, made idols of their own. Right along with the teaching of God, they made their own idols. They made their own gods. You know, sometimes we're tempted to do that too. We want room for our own ideas while experiencing the safety and protection of God. You know, we want that protection. You know, we don't want the lions to overtake us. We don't want Satan to have power in our lives. But yet, you know, there's some things that I just like to do. And we don't realize that we're opening the door to the very thing that we're trying to keep away. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, when they came to Samuel and they said, "We want a king. We want a king to be like other nations. We want a king so that we can be like the other nations around us. Those nations that have a king that goes out to war before them. Those nations that have a king that leads them in the way of when they need to fight. We want to be like those around us. We want to be like other people around us." Not so different. You know, we don't want to stand out. We want to fit in more to the general run of people around us. And this is just some basic scriptural background for loyalty. We want to get to the practical side of it now. An undivided loyalty. Now, we looked at some illustrations that showed some divided loyalty. We want to look at how we can avoid divided loyalty in our own lives. How we can have an undivided loyalty. I believe first and foremost is our loyalty to God. We need to have a commitment, a full dedication to God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I'm not going to apologize when I say that if we don't have a dedication to God, that is an undivided loyalty, it doesn't matter how little bit, we're not loyal. Because any unloyalty is sin. How far can you deviate from the Word of God? How far can you deviate from the commandments of God and still be loyal? Which part of this book, which commandment, which requirement in this book can you deviate from? Can you just twist a little bit to fit yourself and still be loyal to God? When we are at peace with God, we will usually be at peace with the brotherhood. A loyalty to God feeds into the brotherhood. A loyalty to God and a heart that is at peace with God and is willing to be devoted to the Word of God and be devoted to the commands and the demands that God has on our lives is going to be a life that is at peace with the brotherhood. Dedication to God brings a yieldedness and a submission to the church of God. And you might say, well, you know, but, you know, this and that. Brothers and sisters, we have practical applications of scriptural principle that are written out in the little booklet that we call the decrees. And we have, by our commitment of loyalty to Jesus Christ, and our commitment, our willingness to be submissive and yielded to the church of Jesus Christ, have voluntarily committed ourselves to be obedient to the practical applications that are spelled out for us. And that undivided loyalty will help us to understand that the principles of the Word of God apply to so many areas of our lives, that that little booklet of practical applications is just a sample of what we should be. It is not a total description. It's just helping us to understand the principles. Too many times we hear, well, it doesn't say anything about that in the discipline. Well, maybe it doesn't. But maybe you need some help in maturing and applying the principles of the Word of God to an area of your life that hasn't specifically been spelled out in the discipline. And I'm not knocking the discipline. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have one. But brothers and sisters, if we guide our lives solely by what is written in the discipline, we're on dangerous ground. We need to be guided by the principles of the Word of God whereon the discipline is founded. And when the discipline speaks of modesty, and we talk about modesty in dress, and we talk about the way we dress ourselves to cover our bodies and be modest, we need to recognize that the principle of modesty affects many other areas of our life as well. I'm getting off on a bunny trail. Love for God brings a love for His Word. A love and a loyalty and a dedication to God brings a love for His people, and a love for God brings obedience. When love and commitment to God begin to wane, the dissatisfaction with the church and with the brotherhood grows. So as our loyalty, our dedication to God begins to, on a downward trend, most of the time, if you look into that individual's life, you will see their dissatisfaction with the church and with the brothers and sisters in the church begin to grow as well. If there is a conflict between me and the church, there's a very good possibility that my loyalty to God is not where it should be. Now, there are times, and I've experienced them myself, there are times when decisions need to be made. If that would never happen, none of us would be here this morning. None of us would be in this church group. But there are times when decisions need to be made, and saying, you know, the loyalty to God requires me to change my loyalty to a brotherhood. And that's a tough decision to make, but it happens sometimes. Another way that our loyalty to God is tested or may show up, or a divided loyalty may show up, is when our loyalty is tested by worldly allurements. When our loyalties become divided between God and the world, we lose our dedication to His body. It shows up in many practical ways. You know, when we begin to have our attention drawn away, and we see things that the world has to offer, and we begin to wonder, well, what's wrong with that? What can that hurt? Why can't we do that? Why can't we go here or there? Why can't we do this or that? It's very easy to start questioning. But brothers and sisters, we need to go back to the Word of God. Our loyalty needs to be founded on the Word of God. Our loyalty, for any questions in life that come up, we need to go back to the Word of God. I'm enough of a mechanic and a motorhead that I would be very interested in watching some automobiles race around a track and see the power they can get out of those machines and the handling ability that they can get out of those machines, the mechanics of it. But brothers and sisters, I know that I would not be satisfied with seeing that one time. I know that it would take my dedication and my loyalty away from God. It would draw me into other things. If I make room, if I open the door for just one of those things that I would really like to do, that is outside of the principles of the Word of God, it wouldn't stop there. Could I be classed as a separate individual if I would mingle with a crowd at a racetrack? Would I be classified as a good steward if I would spend $100 and some or $200 and some for a seat to watch cars run around a racetrack for a couple hours? You know, there's a lot of principles that enter in. And there's something that's been brought to my attention by a brother just recently. And we get involved in those things, and our heart is there. Brothers and sisters, let's stop and think. Are those the type of people that we would like to share communion with? Are those the type of people, are we enough in line with those type of people that we could have a sacred service like communion with them? If that is where our heart is, we need to be careful. If we're satisfied enough to sit among those people and enjoy the pleasures that they're enjoying, our heart is not at the right place and our loyalty is not undivided. The illustration that I use sometimes is an American going and visiting in England. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to England. And this illustration might fall short in some areas, but bear with me. He gets over to England and he begins to observe the things that are going on there. And you know, all of a sudden he begins to realize, you know what? These people are driving on the left side of the road. They're driving on the opposite side of the road than what we drive here in America. You're on the left side of the road and you're going down the road, not on the right side. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And that thought pattern begins to take root and he starts thinking about that, you know. Well, these are good people. And they're driving on the other side of the road. You know, well, there really can't be anything wrong with that, right? You know, everybody here is doing it. You know, that'd be kind of nice. You know, there's a lot of advantages to that. And he begins to think about the, you know, when he pulls out of his driveway in the morning to go to work. You know, he has to turn left, and he's got to cross both lanes of traffic to get going. Where if everybody would drive on the left side of the road, he could just pull out of his driveway and away he would go. Be so simple. And when he gets to that traffic light down here, he wants to make a left-hand turn. He could make a left-hand turn on red. He wouldn't have to wait till the light turns, till he gets that green arrow that says, okay, now you may turn left, you know. You sit there for, it seems like, 2 minutes sometimes until that light finally turns green, you know. You know, it's a waste of time, you know. There's, you know, he comes back, and he still has this thing rolling around in his mind, you know. Those people over there, they're really good people, and you know, we're kind of restricted here. You know, we got to drive on the right side of the road, and you know, we ought to let some room for personal choice in this matter. And then he goes to the American citizens and he starts to complain about the unfairness of the American government and restricting us to driving on the right side of the road, and you know, he makes a big issue of this. And finally, one morning when he leaves for work, he pulls out of his driveway and he starts driving on the left side of the road. And then he can't understand why nobody appreciates him. Now, we agree that that is a very dangerous situation and it would never work. You're doomed for a head-on collision. It would never work. Brothers and sisters, if we can see it in that perspective, in everyday common life, and we see that it wouldn't work, why do we think it would work in church life? Why can we look around at other churches, and I'm going to get blunt here, we can look around at other churches, and they might be good people. I'm not saying they're not Christians. But we look around at other church groups, and we see, well, they're doing this over here. Why can't we do it? And they begin to think of themselves and all the advantages that they could have if we would just be allowed to do this certain thing. And they don't realize the danger that they would be putting other people into. Brothers and sisters, we need to stop and think about where our loyalty is. If our loyalty is to Jesus Christ and our loyalty is to the church that we have professed ourselves to, then we need to abide by what that church has for us. We don't have the choice of bringing things in from this group and saying, well, it's good for us, and we bring things in from this group. Brothers and sisters, if that's what you want, then maybe you better find yourself over there. When we look at other church groups and we start comparing their good points to all of our bad points, we're being unfair. We're being very unfair. Why don't we lay their good points beside our good points? Because you can be assured that if you look at all their good points and all our bad points, you're going to end up over there. But brothers and sisters, when you get over there, you're going to find out that that church has some bad points too. Because there are people just like you in that church. Where is your loyalty today? What loyalty do you have to the church that you are a part of? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to undivided loyalty, it doesn't just mean that we are loyal to God and it stops there. Loyalty to God means loyalty to His people. And if we have professed our loyalty, then we have an obligation to keep it. When we have the influence around us to draw our attention away from the good that we have in our own setting, and we look at those things and we begin to desire them, our loyalty is divided. And we cannot be at peace if our loyalty is divided. You know, there's many things that can cause us to be looking around to other groups. One of them is being dissatisfied because of certain things that happen in the church. But we talked about this morning about the love covering the multitude of sins. And I believe when forgiveness, when loyalty to God, when loyalty to Jesus Christ brings loyalty for me to a brotherhood, then I do believe that that forgiveness that is extended to me will be extended to those around me. But there's another thing, And as we look at that passage in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I didn't touch that at the beginning purposely, the first couple verses speak to the point of why the people came to Samuel and said, "Make us a king." It says, because Samuel was old and stricken in age, and he made his sons to be priests, and his sons weren't faithful as Samuel was. His sons did not do what Samuel did. His sons took bribes, and there's many different things mentioned there that his sons did. And it caused a dissatisfaction. And the people came to Samuel and said, "Make us a king. Make us a king because your sons don't follow in your footsteps." Brothers and sisters, this morning, it's important that leadership is faithful and loyal. In order for the church to have the loyalty that God is expecting of them, we cannot this morning expect anything more of you as a congregation than what we as leaders are willing to do. And I may be stepping on some people's toes here when I say that, but you know, I realize the responsibility that is laid on leadership, and I realize that we can stand here and we can talk about loyalty, and we can talk about undivided loyalty, and we can talk about commitment and faithfulness. But if we ourselves are not willing to set the example and to live what we preach, it's going to cause disloyalty. And I ask that you pray for us, that you pray that we are diligent in being loyal to the Word of God and being loyal to God Himself, because that's where loyalty needs to start. We need to be loyal to God Himself, every one of us individually. And only as we have a loyalty to God and to Jesus Christ and a loyalty to His Word can we have a loyalty one to another and have a close brotherhood fellowship. I'm thankful this morning for what God has designed, and I'm thankful this morning for what God has given us. And I trust that you are too. And I trust that that loyalty and love that you feel in the brotherhood will inspire you to more loyalty and more commitment and more dedication to God Himself and His Word. Let's kneel for prayer.